You're listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
I want to talk to you guys today about this idea that feeling healthy is not the same thing as actually being healthy. Feeling healthy is not exactly the same thing as actually being healthy. So nigh on 14 years ago, when our son Garrett was born, found him a pediatrician, had this interview with the pediatrician, and this pediatrician says, well, this is actually like, I do family medicine and pediatric medicine, and I love treating whole families. You know, is your whole family looking, you know, for a doctor? You don't have to change. And it just so happened that we weren't super happy with where we'd been going. And I was like, sure, we'd love that. So she's like, great. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to set you up for like your yearly physical. And I'm like, man, I'm like 33 years old. I'm good. You know, I feel healthy. I don't really need that. And she was like, if you're going to be my patient, then you're going to do what I say. So I was like, okay. And I'm a new dad. So I'm like, maybe I should actually start like taking care of myself so I can live. So I go in for my first yearly physical, absolutely not in the habit of paying attention to this stuff at all. And I'm thinking, I feel good. And right off the bat, my doctor surprised me with three questions. First, she said, so what do you do? And I'm like, what do I do, right? She's like, yeah, like what do you do for a living? How do you spend the bulk of your time and your energy? She was trying to understand, like, what sort of life am I living? What sort of demands my job made of me, right? She was particularly interested that I was a pastor. She's like, what are the unique demands of your job as a pastor? And I think she very much understood that pastors need care as caregivers over other people and that sort of thing. She was especially interested that I was a new dad, like not just what do you do, but like why do you do what you do, right? What is your motivation for living and are you interested in living longer? Hence, yearly physicals, right? That kind of thing. So she asked me, what do you do? She then said, what's your diet like? Right? It gets increasingly more uncomfortable, right, as this goes. Like, what's fueling your body? How much fruits and vegetables or whole grains do you eat? How much, like, fatty meats are you taking in? That kind of thing. How much alcohol do you consume? She then asked me, like, about illicit drugs that I use. And I said, oh, I don't use any. And I don't think she believed me. I don't know what it is. She looked at me very oddly, like, are you sure? California kid. That's it. Side note, that's not uncommon with me. They did blood work, right? Because then she wanted to see, like, well, is this guy actually telling me the truth, you know? So what do you do? What's your diet like? Then she said, so what symptoms are you having, right? What are you noticing going on in your body? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? Tell me about your sleep cycles, right? Do you snore, right? Again, this is where it gets more and more uncomfortable because I'm like, yes, you know. How tired are you during the day? Do you feel like you're actually getting well rested? She asked me questions about mental health because, of course, and you know, you fill out the little check boxes when you're coming in and their family history of things, especially being a new patient. And she said, like, I see that depression runs in your family. Like, what are you experiencing at all related to that? You indicated that you suffer from migraines. Tell me about those, right? So she's asking me all about these symptoms that are going on in my body. And my doctor, being the stellar doctor that she was, she set the bar. Every doctor since her has been a disappointment, right? We really, really loved her. And every other time we find a new doctor, we're like, nah, I guess they're okay. They've got a plaque on the wall, you know? They got a degree from somewhere. But being as good of a doctor she was not going to be content with me walking in and just simply saying, I feel fine. I feel good, right? I don't feel sick. Nothing's like severely hurting. I don't have a reason for being here other than you told me that I should come in and have this yearly physical. She knew that this was true, that feeling healthy is not the same thing as actually being healthy. That it takes time and attention. It takes careful questions that dig beneath the surface a little bit before you do start identifying signs that, well, maybe everything is not as peachy as it seems. So today, this is sort of a Lenten checkup, right, that we're going to do here this morning. We're going to do a Lenten checkup, a sort of Lenten spiritual exam. Before we get into Palm Sunday next week, and then Holy Week, and then Easter, right? This is a high point of the Christian calendar. This is the crux of our entire faith that we're heading into. And Lent is a time where we're invited into self-examination. So I wanted to take this opportunity with you guys today to do that. This, in some ways, this is going to be less of a teaching, in particular than maybe I would often do, and it's more of an invitation to self-examination. This is going to be less about us reading the Bible and more about letting the Bible read us, right? Studying the Bible is good. Today, we're going to let the Bible study us. We're not going to dig into the Word so much as we're going to, hopefully, free ourselves to allow the Word to dig into us. We're going to read the passage today in several chunks, and for each one, I'm going to have just kind of a point that I want to kind of draw your attention to that I think is important to note that Paul is writing about in this text. But then I'm going to ask you a question, very much along the lines of the questions my doctor asked me, and then I'm going to leave some pauses, right? So again, for you amateur contemplatives in the room, if silence is uncomfortable to you, you're going to love this. This is going to be great. Not super long, but just short moments where you are going to sit there, not listening to what I am telling you to think about, but you're going to sit there with the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to think about? What is it that you are saying to me through the scriptures today? So why don't you pray with me? And we're going to jump into Galatians chapter 5, picking up where we left off last week as we move through the series. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you know us. We thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that you love us, and you love us more than we love ourselves. And so even now, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to come and give us grace to still our minds, to still our hearts, even to still our physical bodies in your presence today. Lord, let us see what it is that you want us to see. Let us hear what it is you want us to hear. We humble ourselves before you. We trust in your goodness. Amen. Amen. So this first section, we're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. And this is very akin to this question my doctor asked me of, well, what do you do? Right? What is your activity in the world? Paul writes this. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And the point I want to pull from this is simply that Christ set us free to be contributors, not consumers. Christ set us free so that we could be contributors to the world, not just consumers of things in the world. Paul has spent a really good deal of this letter thus far, trying to convince the Galatians that Christ has set them free. That they're not set free by obeying the law. They're not set free to live as God wants them to live by following all the rules and regulations. That true freedom only comes by stepping into God's world as a member of his new family. All the regulations, as helpful as they might be, aren't going to cut it. And this is the real freedom that he's talking about, right? And he's contrasting it with slavery. He's saying we were in slavery to the law. Right? And of course, in a position of slavery, and we have history of this in our country, and we know this all too well, that slavery means you have no choice. You cannot choose what time you get up in the morning. You can't choose what you eat for breakfast if you eat anything. You don't get to choose the work you do during the day and how long you do it, and you don't get to choose when that ends and when you get dinner and when you go to bed at night, and you don't get to choose where you live. You don't have freedom of choice of anything. Paul is saying this is kind of what is captive, held us captive in our sinful flesh, but even the law itself just serves as another master that we're bound to obey. But in Christ, he's like, you've got some freedom now to choose how you live. You're no longer, you're exempt from the coercion of others. You're exempt from these external regulations. And again, as we'll see in a moment, you're exempt even from the control of our own disordered desires. True freedom. But Paul, at this point now, hits this point where he's challenging them to consider the all-important question, why? How many parents just cringed when I said why? I love this question. It's really difficult, and this is maybe a personality thing. I have a really hard time doing anything that I don't have a solid why for, you know? And, you know, if it's just because, like, well, never mind, I'm not interested, you know? And this is what Paul is doing. He's like, don't just take my word for it. Don't just try to be free in Christ and not in the law just because I say so. He wants them to understand the why. What is the purpose behind our freedom? What is the goal of our freedom? What is the why behind all of the suffering that Christ endured that we're about to revisit in a couple weeks, right? All of that suffering, why did he bother? Paul sums it up like this, so that we might serve one another humbly in love. And I think this is fascinating. He doesn't say so that you can serve God. He doesn't say so that you can serve Jesus. He doesn't say so that you can serve the poor and disenfranchised, right? I mean, all of these, yes and amen to these are good. But Paul is making a point to a specific local congregation. He has set you free so that you can serve one another. In Mark chapter 10, Mark writes this unbelievably gorgeous, short, succinct why behind Jesus, of why he came, of how he came into the world. So check this out. Mark chapter 10, Jesus called them together. And this was after some of the disciples were like, hey, we want to be more important than other people, right? Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Here it is. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Son of Man was a favorite phrase that Jesus used for himself. It comes from the book of Daniel. But he's saying, even I, the Messiah, the Son of God, didn't come to be served, but to serve. Even Jesus, this long-expected Messiah, the creator of heaven and earth, the king of the universe, didn't come with a posture of entitlement or self-centered expectation. He wasn't coming because of what he was going to get out of it. He didn't come to consume. He came to contribute. And I often hear this, and I think, what if this was my MO? What if this was the why behind me entering every room that I enter into? What if this was my, like, slogan for living life? What could it be said of me, which it can't? I'm not trying to fool you. Maybe sometimes. I'll give myself a little benefit of the doubt. That Roger came not to be served, but to serve. And so I have a question for you to ponder, right? To hold before the Lord. And before we get to there, I'm gonna narrow it down today to consider the context in which we all find ourselves this morning, because it's a context we all share. I know our lives are different, our families are different, our workplaces are different. But today we have one thing in common, whether we're in person or even online, is that we're in church, right? And it's important to realize here that there's two parts to what Paul says. Serve one another and humbly in love. Right? It's possible to serve one another and not do it humbly in love. So the how there is important. But it's important to ask ourselves, like, how did we come today? Right? Did I come with hopes of what I might get out of it? And I've been in church a long time, guys. Right? So how many times have I, like, left church and said to, like, a friend or my wife or whatever and be like, no, I don't know if I really got anything out of church today, right? It's far too easy to come to church as consumers. Our capitalistic American culture doesn't make that any easier, right? That's the way we're trained to enter every situation. What do I get out of this? Am I getting the bang for my buck? Even if you're not a tither, you still think that way. What do I get out of my non-buck? I hope the coffee's good this morning, right? Or like, I hope the band plays songs that I actually like today. I hope somebody actually sees me today, that I don't feel invisible again. I hope that my kid's favorite teacher is in the classroom today and not that other person. You know that's true. You drop them off and you're like, oh. I hope the sermon speaks to me. I hope I get something out of that. You're like, dang, it's Roger again. I should have slept in. But now I'm here. That would just be awkward. Speaking of awkward, I hope that awkward person at church isn't at church today. Or if they're there, I hope they just kind of like, don't see me, leave me alone. I hope someone will check in on me and ask me how I'm really doing with that issue in my life and maybe actually offer to pray for me. We have these hopes when I come to church. Incidentally, every single one of those, like, those are me. Those are things that I think on a regular basis that I hope when I'm coming to church that I get out of it almost every single week, and have certainly done that for the bulk of my life. Now, hear me carefully here. I'm in no way saying that those are wrong. Those are not bad. I hope all of those are really great reasons why you're here today. I hope your kids are blessed in VKids today. I hope your kids are blessed in Pulse. I hope you meet Jesus in the songs we sing. I don't really care if you like them. I hope you meet Jesus in the songs that we sing today. I hope you're enjoying the coffee. Cheers. Several people. Nice. I know why you're here. Okay. Those are good things. But the question is, did we come just to consume, or did we come in order to give what other people might need? Did you show up early to make the coffee? Some of you did that. High fives. Did you get to smile and open the door and greet people as they were coming in? Are you teaching VKids right now, but you're listening to this on the podcast later because you sacrificed time in this service so that you could go and minister to those littlest members of God's kingdom? Did you practice songs all week long and you showed up here before 8 a.m.? Before the coffee was made, so that you could lead us in worship? Are you on the prayer team this morning and you're already eager and ready to minister to people in need? And those are only like scheduled opportunities that we do, right? And there's more and more and more. But even if you're not scheduled, are your eyes and your ears and your heart and your arms, are they open to people around you today? Are you attentive to what needs are going on in the room and opportunities the Spirit has for you? And maybe you do all these things, and maybe you've already come today to serve. Well, then again, the sub-question is, was it done in love? Was it done out of love for others, or was there some other motivation, right? Some of us serve out of compulsion or out of duty. This is a good Christian thing to do. Some of us serve just because we enjoy doing those things. Some of us serve because we like to be in control of something. Some of us serve in ways that we know are going to garner us hope. I mean honor or thanks or praise, right? Christian activism or Christian busyness, all of that, it can be a tactic for avoiding our interior life as much as anything else. So if you serve all the time, good for you. I'm super glad that you do. But even for us then, it's time to back up and say, well, why? Right, Lord, examine my heart. Like, honest moment, I had to ask myself this week, like, even as I was preparing for this sermon, like, why am I doing this? Like, really, Lord, why am I doing this? Why do I preach? Is this really serving out of love? And because the honest truth is, like, I love doing this. I love the Bible. I love all of the prep that goes into it. I love the creativity of thinking as a teacher, like, how do I get people to engage with this text that they may have read 100 times or have read once in their life and that's it. Like, I love that. I have encounters with God personally in the preparation. I have encounters with God here and now in the delivery of it. And I do, I deeply hope that it serves people, but if I'm really honest with myself, it also just feels really good to have all of you staring at me. All those other Sundays when I come in, I'm like, gosh, I hope people really sees me. I don't have to worry about that today. I And then, like, I have, you're like listening to me. And afterwards, like, people like thank me for things, or they tell me how powerful something was that I said, and I'm so clever and whatever, right? Like, and on top of that, right, just to complicate matters further so that you understand the interior world of Roger, like, this is also how I feed my kids, right? Like, I get paid for this, right? So, like, there's so many mixed motivations and things going on that even as a pastor, it's hard to go, okay, God, where is my heart? Now, and that's not to beat myself up, right? We're all a mixed bag all the time. I think Jesus is okay with that. And that's not to say that we should avoid thanking people for the service they do or praising them when they do a good job. We should absolutely do those things. We need to affirm one another and build one another up all the time. But we're all a mixed bag. And there's tons of grace for mixed bags. So with that in mind, here's a question, and I'm going to invite you just to sit silently with this before the Lord. And this is akin to the question, what do you do? In what way did I come today, here and now, to this church service? In what way did I come today, as a contributor or as a consumer? Allow yourself to be just honest with yourself and with the Lord. No judgment. No criticism. No boasting before him. No shame before him. Just naming it. God, here's how I think I came today. Perhaps a sub-question before the Lord, if you'd like to hold it before him. Like, is the Lord inviting me to contribute in some way before I leave today? Maybe I didn't come in thinking in that mindset at all, but we've got a long ways to go this morning, guys. We're just getting started. Lord, are you inviting me to contribute to others in some way today before I leave? Say amen to that. Question number two. This is related to the, like, what's your diet like? Galatians 5, 16 through 18. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, there's a number of things going on here. What I would love to draw our attention to is this idea that desire is the fuel that our engines run on. As human beings, one of the ways in which we are created in God's image is that we have desires. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why? Because he wanted to. Right? It was birthed out of desire. We live out of our desires. And what Paul is naming here is that we have all these desires in us, and they're in conflict with each other. And you know this feeling. You know what this is like. Some desires come from what he calls the flesh. That is, they just come from ourselves. Other desires come from what he calls the Spirit. That is, those desires that come from God himself. Now, this is a way deeper topic than we have time to go into here, but I will at least mention, Paul's using two words here, and he uses these very technically throughout almost all of his letters, and it's this idea of the Greek sarx and the Greek word pneuma. Sarx, which is often translated into as just the word flesh, and pneuma meaning spirit. But what I want us to understand here is that flesh and spirit does not mean material versus non-material. Okay? Whenever you read this in Scripture, especially in the way it's used in the New Testament, flesh does not mean body bad, and pneuma does not mean spirit good. Okay? It's much more nuanced than that. We are created as whole beings. Our spirits are good, and our bodies are good, because they were both created by God for his glory. So we've got to get beyond thinking in terms of physical and spiritual, seen and unseen, tangible and intangible. That's a false dichotomy that does not exist in Scripture. But what he's saying is, where is the fuel source that you are living out of? Where are those desires stemming from that keep your engines going? And we got to get this, that being spiritually healthy, again, this is a checkup, being spiritually healthy requires being filled with his spirit, right? We need good nutrition, not bad nutrition. We're healthier when the spirit's desires are the driving force behind how we live. We are more unhealthy when our own desires are the driving force behind how we live. And again, man, just like serving, being a consumer or contributor, we're a mixed bag, right? I would view those two things on a spectrum. And man, on any given day, any given hour, I'm somewhere in between those, fluctuating back and forth. Now, we all get tired. How tired are you today? Have you adjusted to daylight savings time yet? Our family has not. It was rough getting up like every day this week. Almost late to school, you know. We need to refuel, right? Our bodies need refueling, our spirits need refueling, and refueling requires intentional rhythms. Our bodies need regular nutrients, our spirits need regular nutrients. And what my doctor was getting at is she was trying to help me understand, Roger, like, good nutrition doesn't happen by accident. It's why our kids get sick and tired of us hearing us say, like, eat something that grew out of the ground. You know, because they're like, we're out of chips. Eat something that grew out of the ground. You're like, but there's corn in these. Corn grew out of the ground. Yeah, but not the like 37 other ingredients. They did not. Factory grown, lab grown, right? Good nutrition doesn't happen by accident, and it's the same with our spirits. We must regularly punctuate our lives with stopping to feast on the bread of life, as Jesus calls himself. To satiate our thirsts with the rivers of living water that God offers to us. And if we don't do it intentionally, it's not going to happen by accident. And just some thoughts on what this looks like practically, of like basic Christian practices, is that we need regular rhythms of work. Again, being contributors, not just consumers. We need regular rhythms of work, regular rhythms of rest, that is just stopping just to be with God. We need regular rhythms of prayer, that is speaking with God, listening to God, slow face-to-face interaction and dialogue with him. We need regular rhythms of Scripture where we just soak in it. Again, not merely reading the Bible, but let it read us. Studying the Bible is great. Also, allowing the Bible to study us. And we need regular rhythms of fellowship where we encounter the invisible Christ in his visible body. This is part of what I think Paul means when he says that we as a church are the body of Christ. It means this is where we see him with our eyes. This is where we shake his hand and hug his neck with one another. So here's a question for you to hold before the Lord for a quiet moment. Thinking about when you are tired, maybe particularly when you're tired of feeling tired, you know what I mean? Like, you like really tired, like down in your bones. The question is where does my flesh pull me to refuel? And how might the Spirit might be inviting me to refuel? Just sit with that before the Lord. Where does my flesh often pull me to refuel? And how might the Spirit be inviting me to refuel? Some of the places coming to your mind where you often run to refuel, like they may not even be like bad things, but we just name them. The other night for me, it was junk food and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because it's back on Netflix. But the question, like, where is the Lord drawing you in this moment? When you're tired of being tired, what is the deep, eternal, divine source that he's inviting you to? More frequently, more regularly. Is your heart ready to say a yes to his invitation? Let yourself respond to him. Maybe the invitation feels difficult, challenging. You can tell him that too. Amen. Third and final question. Again, this is getting on to what symptoms are you experiencing? Longer section here, Galatians 5, 19 to 23. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, a point I'd like to make with this is this, that inner health can be evaluated by external indicators. This is why my doctor's asking these things, right? These are symptoms. What if we looked at these lists not as like do's and don'ts? And typically these are called like vice lists and virtue lists in the Bible, right? And it's real easy to read these of just like don't, do, right? But what if we view these for a moment not as lists of do's and don'ts, but just as symptoms? Do we notice these things in our lives? And all of these, incidentally, relate to relationships. These are all things of how we interact with other people, how we treat other people. So imagine you're in the waiting room. You're in the divine waiting room, right? You're getting ready for your yearly checkup with the Holy Spirit. And one of the questions says, please place a check mark next to any of the following symptoms if you've experienced in any of your relationships within the last 12 months. Right? Well, here's a list. Imagine the checklist. Go to the next slide. In the past 12 months, I mean, you can lie to your doctor, or you can be honest with your doctor. Last week, Dan got to say the word emasculate. This week, I got to say the word orgies. Because that's not awkward. Now, what I would like to point out about this list, right? If we see these things, these are signs of unhealth. And Lord knows in our country today, man, there's all of these are everywhere all the time. In this election year, some of these are incredibly visible. And let me just say that the church is not exempt from any of these. I don't assume just because that we're all in this room and we're all like good Christians that these don't apply to us. We're all mixed bags. I would also point out, Paul also says, right? He says, and the like, meaning there's like always this category of like other, because he doesn't mention other. This is not an exhaustive list. He doesn't mention stealing, right? He doesn't mention lying or murder or littering, right? Like, there's a bunch of things that we could put on this list. You guys laugh at all the ones that make you feel awkward, right? Littering. I see you. But also, you go on in the list, in the last 12 months, have you experienced any of these symptoms? Now, these are positive signs. These are good things to see. Like when we tell our doctor, like, I've been sleeping really well. My energy's been up. Can we check these off? Maybe more so than we did last year. Are there some of these that are still kind of lacking on our list, right? Now, I also notice this is not an exhaustive list. These are not the only fruits of the Spirit. He doesn't mention things like generosity, listening, hospitality, honesty. So right now, for a moment before the Lord, just ask him, which symptom does the great physician want to address in me today? Which symptom does the great physician want to address in me today? And it could be a negative one, it could be a positive one. Which one is your attention kind of irresistibly drawn to, even if you really don't want to look at it, but like it's there? God is good and kind and gentle. Just let him put his finger on those things. Not to shame you. Not to criticize you. But to heal you. For the sake of your own health, for the sake of your own relationships. Amen. Going to read these last few verses really quick, and I'm going to invite us to pray together. These last few verses, it's kind of like a summary, and then we're just going to pray these a prayer out of these verses as we close today. But Paul closes and sums this up by saying, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Why don't you guys stand with me? And this prayer will be up on the slides. And kind of as a way of transitioning from the Spirit examining us to a place of worship where we respond to him, let this begin as being yet another step of your response to him today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to you, and we have been crucified with you. May our passions pass away so that yours might burn within us. May our desires die so that yours might be fulfilled in us. Help us to be filled and fueled by your Holy Spirit, to follow his every footstep and to bear his fruit. Give us the grace to humble ourselves before both you and one another, so that instead of bringing out the worst in each other, we might serve one another humbly in love, just as you came not to be served, but to serve.